This is Global Air Force.
You know, I see in the Christians are not unified on what to do about politics. They don't have any master plan, and they don't even like to talk about it. We should have a say in the world today. We're not a vestigial organ of humanity in the world. We're part of God's body, part of His plan. We're His children, His servants. Today, we do not get much response out of Christians when it comes to government, politics, who should be president. Christians just clam up. And I don't see a cohesiveness among Christians of, say, who should be president or what should be done in this country. They're afraid to speak up. It seems as if some believe it's a sin. Now, I'm not here to answer all those questions, but I do have today a political activist, a Christian, a man who's involved in trying to do something with our government, our national affairs. His name is Mark Anderson. He's a political activist, and today I have him on this program. What he's written to me and published in the Good News Magazine, the Spring 2024 edition. Mark Anderson presents an interesting view of the end times, and maybe as Christians, we have forgot this. Now, I may repeat this. Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. This is a prophecy about the coming Messiah, Jesus. It says, the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Is Jesus concerned about government?
Yes, he is.
It says the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his government there is no end. Well, how do we establish his government, bring heaven to earth? How do we get into the trenches? What do we do as believers? How do we contend to establish his kingdom on this earth? This is the emphasis of this teaching. One answer is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Paul is talking about the end times when Christ returns. In verse 3, Paul mentions the Antichrist will not appear until there's first, a falling away. Many Christians claim in the last days the church will be lukewarm and will fall away. What Paul was writing about, out of context, falling away in the Greek means departure or be absent from the post in the last days. Paul did say to Timothy regarding the last days, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter days some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Some is not many. Just the opposite will happen. In the last days, a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it says in Joel 2, preceded by targeted intercession. Instead of expecting just total falling away or disaster, there is hope at the end. Mark writes, so as not to be sidetracked, my emphasis here is not end time prophecy, but if you would like to know more about Mark's teaching, the teaching is Dry Run, the Great Awakening.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Okay. Praise God. It is another beautiful day. Oh, I'm really thankful, Lord, that I can broadcast these messages. Today I'm going to visit with something Mark Anderson has written. And Mark Anderson is a tall drink of water from Cody, Wyoming, in the United States.
I want to go right to what he sent to me, and here it is. He publishes it in the Good News magazine, the Spring 2024 edition. Mark calls this lesson Bunker Busting Intercession. Retired Army Ranger Adrian Wasson, who attends our church and has traveled in ministry with me, gave me some insight about bunker-busting weapons in our military. He told me our military can identify the origins of where an attack comes from. When the enemy fires artillery at them, our military can gather the coordinates together there and can return fire within 9 feet of the coordinates taken out of the enemy's stronghold bunker. During the month of March, we ministered throughout Germany. While in Glauchau, the Holy Spirit moved in very specific and detailed words of knowledge. Many people received miraculous healings during that time and throughout the trip. During this time, the Holy Spirit impressed that now is the time for increased intercession, to use our authority to restrain evil, and to bring about an awakening in the nations. Travis Vad ministered at our church after we returned from Germany. The Lord gave him the word bunker busting. He connected bunker busting to prayer and worship. If you do not have a strong prayer life, it is crucial in this hour to develop one. The battle of light versus darkness, evil, is not over. It will intensify. Jesus is the mighty warrior. He already defeated Satan and made a show of him openly. He won the war, so we need to learn to fight from a place of victory, because the battle is already won. At the same time, we have to enter into spiritual warfare, enforce the victory, follow the Holy Spirit's leading to win this present battle for our nation. We need to be engaged both in spiritual and natural for lasting change. During a time of waiting on the Lord in Glauchau, Germany, He laid on my heart the importance of intercession in this season. Glauchau means silent. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." The word wait in the Hebrew means to become with or become entwined with. The Hebrew word for renew means to alter, change, or overpass your own strength. We must understand what it is to wait on the Lord and to hear His voice and be renewed so we mount up with wings like eagles. Eagles lock their wings and rise above the storm clouds. They bask in the sun with a bird's eye view, word's eye view of the storm below. In Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7 is a prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. It says, "The government will be upon His shoulders. The government will be upon His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end." Jesus is concerned about government. You know that? Jesus is concerned about government. The government is upon His shoulders, and His government there is no end. One way we establish His government and bring heaven to earth is to get in the trenches with intercession and spiritual warfare, using our God-given authority We contend for a righteous government. This is a battle for the souls of mankind to see where they will spend the rest of eternity. More crucial than any other battle ever fought. Will we give up in the fight? Will we let evil take over? Or will it be those who take in account our destiny and usher the greatest awakening this world has ever seen? The focal point that Mark wants to zero in is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and here we go. Paul said, "And now you know what is restraining, that he, the Antichrist, may reveal in his own time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." Paul gives us insight in how to obtain a restraining order from the court of heaven on lawlessness. The word Antichrist means lawlessness or lawless one, which is restraining. What is restraining? And who is restraining the Antichrist and the lawlessness? The Holy Spirit is the one who restrains evil from assuming control. What is restraining and who is restraining the Antichrist and the lawlessness? The Holy Spirit is the one who restrains evil from assuming control over this earth. When we partner with Him, the Holy Spirit, using our own God-given authority, what we're experiencing right now on this earth is a dry run for the Antichrist or lawlessness. As a result of this dry run for the evil, the demonic is on steroids to create lawlessness and chaos. Saul Alinsky dedicated his book, Rules for Radicals, to Lucifer. He has influenced Hillary Clinton and many modern-day Democrats. He said, "Never let a good crisis go to waste." Because of seeing the demonic chaos unleashed, many are turning to Christ and raising up to fight. Christ is raising up mighty warriors in these last days. The Holy Spirit is here to enforce Christ's victory and keep evil from winning in the long run. Jesus told us to pray. He said, "Deliver us from the evil one." We are delivered by learning to partner with the Holy Spirit and understanding our God-given authority and walking in it. He says, for more information on the subject, check out his book, The Authority Given to Mankind, by Mark R. Anderson. Holy Spirit-led worship, intercession, has the same effect in the spiritual realm as our military has in the natural. It is like a bunker-busting bomb that can penetrate 12 feet of concrete and then explode, blowing up the enemy stronghold. Then the army can move in to secure the area and win the fight. The Hebrew word for intercession is paga. It has multiple meanings, like to make contact with God. It also means to hit the mark. Out of the scripture it says, "He covers his hands with lightning and commands it to strike," the Hebrew word paga, to hit the mark. How do we hit the mark when it comes to intercession? Keep in mind, the Holy Spirit is the one who restrains the evil on this earth. Look at Romans 8, 26 through 27. Listen. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." The Greek goes on to say, uttered or articulate or in known speech. "Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Verse 26 says, "We don't know what we should pray as we ought." I do not always know what to pray, Mark says. in my own language. This is why I need the Holy Spirit, the intercessor, to pray through the groanings, and he says, or tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." Mark says, when you're praying in tongues, you're praying to God. This is a private prayer language between you and the Father. When we intercede in tongues, we speak mysteries. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we can ask for the interpretation of what we pray in tongues to get the coordinates. Praying in tongues is not the gift of tongues mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. This is a prayer language that comes with the filling of the Holy Spirit. Notice it says, the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered in articulate speech or known language. Prior to Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus groaned in his spirit and was troubled. See John 11. Other than that, he did not pray to the Father in his known language. Then Jesus, it says, lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me." Well, how did the Father hear Jesus? The Holy Spirit was praying through Jesus, Mark says, in tongues or in groanings, making intercession, paga, according to God's perfect will. Notice the power to perform what was impossible. Notice the power to perform what was impossible. 4 days dead, he commanded Lazarus to come forth from the tomb, and he arose. Now that is bunker-busting power. When we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us, in tongues or in groanings out of our spirit, we are praying according to his perfect will. Verse 27, Romans. Look what 1 John 5, chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. It says, if we pray according to his perfect will. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. Oh, what a wonderful scripture. This is how we engage in this bunker-busting power in the invisible spiritual realm and bring heaven to earth. Now, going on in the scripture in Romans, and we know all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purposes, or his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. Many who are in extreme sovereignty, sensationalism, or Calvinism, take this verse out of context, misunderstanding the true intent of this verse and the authority that comes with praying in tongues, or I say in the Spirit. They believe that all things work to the good or bad, automatically work together for the good, no matter what. That is not accurate. If so, there's no such thing as exercising our God-given authority to resist the devil. See James 4:7. Notice how back into Romans we go, verse 28. It starts with the word and that means it's a caveat to the verse 28. We need to read verse 26 and 27. When we allow the Holy Spirit to intercede through us in these groanings, our intercession hits the mark, paga, causing all things to turn together for our good. If we're not given the Holy Spirit prayer, it is possible that not everything will work together for the good. Mark says, if you would like to know more about the Holy Spirit and the purpose for tongues, download and print my teaching. The teaching is the purpose of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. Last month, after we finished ministering to Dachau, we ministered to Malta, Germany, where Hitler had many ammunition bunkers. Malta had a concentration camp where prisoners were forced to work in an armaments factory. This is now a Christian retreat center where conferences are conducted and Christians are equipped who come from all over the world and are learning how to be bunker busters in the spirit. Our intercession needs to hit the mark if we are to see our nation turned around. I was awakened at 3:33 a.m. one day, and I wrote this, the coordinates from Jeremiah, Jeremiah 33:3, in the Amplified Bible. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things, the coordinates fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish or recognize, and have knowledge and of understanding. Do you need some bunker busting? If so, pray in tongues. Let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you, the coordinates of how to take out the enemy's stronghold and strategy. Prayer changes nations. This scripture you may be familiar with, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotism, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Many in powerful positions around this globe are power hungry. Understand that they have authority, and many of them knowingly or unknowingly yield to demonic spirits that control to carry their demonic authority on this planet. The problem we have today is evil. It's proactive, whereas Christians and conservatives are reactive, unlike our forefathers who took action to give us this great country. Many Christians wait for the ship to sink before taking action. This is a passive mindset. It has to change. We're at war with evil. 2 Corinthians 10 says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, natural, fleshly, but they're mighty in God for the putting down of strongholds. Christians, with the help and the partnership of the Holy Spirit, are the resistance to evil. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said when he was in the temple, my house shall be called a house of prayer. One of the main purposes for the temple of the Holy Spirit is to become a house of prayer. I like this verse. The Lord gave me this verse in a vision. Here it is. God saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and was clothed with zeal as a cloak. That's in Isaiah 59. Jesus came as an intercessor for mankind. Notice, he put on armor. He understood we are at war, and we can find that in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 tells us that our real enemies are demon spirits. We are to clothe ourselves with the armor of God, to engage in spiritual warfare. Verse 18 of Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We put on the armor to deal with the demonic realm. So today, the way we do battle is to pray, intercede, hit the mark, paga. Jesus lives to make intercession for us. That's a scripture. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The Father sent Jesus as an intercessor. Notice the results of prayerlessness in the Old Testament in Ezekiel chapter 22. Listen to this. So I sought for a man, God said, among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. God was looking for an intercessor, Paga, to make a wall and stand in the gap. But nobody was willing to intercede. And they were destroyed. Isaiah 64. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. Once again, judgment fell because nobody would stir themselves up to take a hold of God in intercession. He uses the word Paga again. Every great move of God has proceeded with intercession. America!
Far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountain majesties. On thee, he made me crown thy good. Yes, he did. Give me brotherhood from sea to shining sea. You know, I wish I had somebody to help me sing this.
There's folks who want to know just what is our country way out. Some think it's in a man, and on his word they stand. But when I hear it, I just want to shout.
More praying, less straying,
that's what we need.
Soul winning, less sinning,
that's what we need. More loving, less hatred, in race and creed. Soul stirring preachers,
that's what we need.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.